Welcome to Serial Podcast 9, a podcast about cars mostly, and drifting, and trips to go drifting, movies maybe, car shows, wheels, suspension components, like the premium suspension components found at Serial9.com. You'll also find fully sick shift knobs, limited run custom steering wheels, bushings, hats, shirts, and much more. Get yours now at Serial9.com. You're likely also to hear about buying and selling weird JDM cars, scooters, Tesla peasants, fully sick wheel fitment, BMW headliners, power window and blinker speeds, beers, cameras, and probably some dad jokes starring Gerard D. Don't Ask Dumb Questions Peralta, Kevin Tire Pressure Problems Peterson, and the host with the most percentage of beer, Ryan, bring me my craft beer, Benoit.
Okay. Good afternoon. And welcome to Serial Podcast 9. I'm your host, Gerard De Peralta. Let me just try that again with some enthusiasm.
Yeah, and also do it properly.
Why don't we just do it differently?
Are you the host, really?
I don't know, sure.
Good evening. You got questions lined up?
I don't know. You got the questions, dog. Good evening. Welcome to Serial Podcast 9. I'm Gerard De Peralta, and I have two other friends with me who co-host or host, and I'm the co-host. We don't know, but they are.
Kevin Peterson and Ryan Benoit. Ryan's too busy laughing to say his own name.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. We've done this so many times, and it sounds like it's the first time.
Ryan, it sounds like you're averse to change.
Maybe I am. No, I'm are fine you very with it.
Do small changes in your schedule upset you?
They don't. I don't think so. But I just loved the confusion of what everybody's role was. It's like we're all co-hosts. We can be.
We are.
We're all here and we're all doing our best.
Exactly. We're all just here to try our best.
Welcome to Serial Podcast 9.
And thank you for joining us.
Evening, morning, mid-afternoon, whenever you're doing it.
Middle of the night.
We're glad you're here. We're going to do a thing. Yes. Let's get into it. All right. Hey, how are both of you doing? That is good. Jerry, you're back. You don't have heat stroke anymore. Jerry was in Costa Rica living his best life.
I didn't have heat stroke. I just had a little bit too much sun. And I, yeah.
Could be heat stroke. Whew. You're no doctor, nor am I.
Well, heat stroke, Kevin? I definitely know what heat stroke is like. So, but I didn't have that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Whatever you say, Dr. DePront.
It's Dr. Jerry.
Dr. Jerry. Yeah.
Peralta.
You would be a doctor that goes like doctor first name. Dr. Jerry would be your doctor name. Kevin, you're doing good in the neighborhood.
Got no complaints.
I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about. Surprise. But people wrote in with questions, which is very exciting. We even had a very funny request, which maybe we'll get to. But I got questions. Are you guys ready for it? Or is there anything you want to get off your chest before we start?
I got to get something off my chest. Everybody reach out to me on Instagram and send me your sim racing, sim drifting tips. And let's link up here, you know?
Oh, yeah. This is actually interesting. Kevin, you recently set up your sim racing rig.
I finally got it going.
You've been driving on it?
I got to mount the e-brake still. But, yeah, just been farting around a little bit.
What rig did you get, so people know?
The Moza R5 bundle. So it's their pedal and wheel driver and shifter. And then I just got some super cheap Amazon e-brake. Right now it has a Bride Zeta 2 seat. It has our Arcadia wheel with the SK3 shifter on. So nice. Yeah, I got to raise the seat up a bit or put the shifter down a bit. It's like a little bit not ideal at the moment, but getting there slowly.
He's doing it. I have a question that I've been meaning to ask for weeks. And then you just reminded me when you said it. So we say bride.
Yeah.
But is it? I hear people say brid now. Is that a thing?
I believe the Japanese people say brid.
Oh, but we're brid. We just want to bastardize it, I suppose. Should we start saying Brit, or is it this like a week fest situation instead of wake fest?
I almost feel like I've come around on the week fest somehow recently.
What do you mean you've come around on it?
Well, I've noticed the last couple of times I've been saying week fest, not weck fest. It just rolls off the tongue a little easier, you know?
Oh, okay. I literally just forgot what the name of it was again. And I was like, it's Wreckfest. Okay, good. So, Kevin, you got your sim rig set up. You started driving it. You did confide in me the other day that you were just doing the driving tests on it, like getting it all sorted, being very responsible.
I was playing career mode is what I was doing, yeah.
Yeah, which I, and just, so, okay, what game are you playing?
Assetto Corsa.
I enjoyed this very much because Kevin, of all people, it seemed very funny that he was being very responsible, being a very responsible driver in sim racing. But when you drive with Kevin in the real world, every angry meme driver is Kevin, is what I've come to realize. Every time I see a meme about an angry driver, I'm like, I should send this to Kevin because it's Kevin. So I think that's fun.
I very much responsibly have driven you in the car for hundreds of hours, you know?
No, you have. We're still alive. It's great.
But yeah, you know, if someone's going slow in my way, I'm going to be upset about it.
Yeah, exactly. I saw the meme today where someone's like, oh, this person won't get out of my way. I got to speed up and look at how dumb the driver is and who they are. I'm like, oh, that's a Kevin move.
I feel like it's like a Gerard move. I feel like it's like an everyone move. Like,
yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, okay. So yeah, you're doing that. You're getting
the lots of times
of
also you can figure out, you can pick, you know. It's like, oh, it's a white Tesla. You're like, you know, you can kind of guess what it's going to be. Or you're like, oh, it's a Subaru Forester, you know? And you're like, I want to know if I'm right, you know?
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. It's like a market. It's a marketing game.
Yeah, or like a, you know, perception game.
Yeah, that's all right. That's fine. I tried to give you an out by saying marketing game, but we'll go with that. It's fine. Jerry, what are you doing that you're so quiet? With the podcast. We're back to the podcast.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I didn't know you were busy doing commerce. Okay.
Busy doing BMW things, Ryan.
All you're consumed by it. A question that'll probably lean into that. We'll do that after. I want to do this one first. We'll warm up with this. Chris Klein wrote in. Love a good question from Chris Klein. Also, he recently bought an ISS, which I think is great. Good for him, doing the things that I want to do right out of my dream journal. All right. Chris Klein writes in, says, here's a question. Maybe it's been asked before. Are there cars you wish you could have driven again, and what would you have changed on them knowing what you know now? So are there cars you wish you could have driven over again, and what would you have changed on them knowing what you do now? I love this type of question because it's all like fucking hypothetical. It's just hypothetical stuff. Like so pick a car, even to just drive again, to own again, whatever you want to do, choose your own adventure. And what would you change? What would you do?
I don't know, man. I had all shitty cars. I still have shitty cars. The only car my X8 was pretty cool, but honestly, the A86, I thought it was pretty rad to drive.
Yeah, what would you apply to that?
Yeah, I think if you've always driven shitty cars, then that's an easy one. You want to, you know, change everything on all of them.
Honestly, my AE, I wouldn't have changed anything. It's just maybe got a steering wheel for it. The steering wheel kind of sucked. Oh, an LSD. I would have liked to have an LSD.
There you go.
Realistically, it'd be nice if it had another 100 horsepower. I'm just saying, like, if I could probably just drive that car exactly how it was again, for like a week or two, or just, I think it'd be pretty cool.
What if you took it to a drift event?
I wouldn't take that car to a drift event. Maybe if it was in the fucking rain.
All right.
I would take my X8 again. And what would I change?
And what would you change?
I'd probably just put a proper standalone on it, so it made the same power, but like reliably. Honestly, the X8 was perfect. There's nothing I would change about it. The paint was perfect. The wheels, the color, the fucking suspension was great. The engine worked great. The fucking transmission was cool. The clutch was cool. Seat, steering wheel, everything. The car was perfect. I loved it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I feel like that's also the opposite of what the question was.
Yes, yeah. But I feel like that's exactly what I'd expect Gerard to do. So I'm like not mad or surprised. It's like Gerard's like, yeah, I painted a picture. It was a masterpiece. And then I moved on. Nothing to learn from what I've done before. But it is funny because you said, oh, I'd have the 8.6 again. But then I know you'd build that 8.6 differently because I have a very good memory for those at home that don't know this. And I remember Gerard in other episodes explaining the type of 8.6 he would build, which I don't think was the type of 8.6 that you owned.
But I mean, yes and no. I guess the only thing is like,
I love the idea. I'm just going to stop you before you say anything, that you are going to own a car and it's going to be modest. Like, I just love that you think like, I'd go back in time and own this very like modest 8.6 and not do anything wild to it, which does not fall in line with any of your character. Like, you would build something wild.
I just don't think that car like needed, I don't know. The 8.6 to me was probably different than what the 8.6 was to Kevin, because Kevin like drifted his, and it was like, you know, he probably fucking beat the shit out of it and like did the most. Oh, yeah. And like, I just drove my car. I mean, I didn't like treat it nicely or anything, but like, I knew what it could do and couldn't do, and I didn't try to get it to do the things that it couldn't do. I just enjoyed whatever fucking basic shit that it could do. I appreciated it for the shitty car that it was.
Right, but if you had an 8.6 today, you wouldn't do anything different to it.
I mean, if I had a bunch of money, maybe, but I don't know. I wouldn't have an 8.6. I just, because the question was sort of, maybe I misinterpreted the question. It was just kind of like, if you could go back and drive an old car that you used to have. And I mean, out of all the old cars I used to have, that's the only one that I would probably care to like drive again that,
not even
like
the Arista,
change it. Okay? It's like, is somebody giving me fucking 50 grand to dump into an AE86? And then I probably just wouldn't do that anyway. So like, that's probably like, I guess the question doesn't apply. I don't know.
Sure. I'm going to change the rules to get you where we're going on this. Cause it's, you're just painting,
it's not working.
Painting masterpieces. No, it's just, I wouldn't change anything. I'm the best there is, there was, there ever will
no,
be.
No, I'm not saying that.
No. Okay. So if you were gifted an 8.6, you would just do bare minimum to it? Gerard, there's an answer to this question.
And okay, here's what I would do. I'd probably have like a...
Name the fenders. There's fenders.
I don't know. Would you want like a fucking, like a 250? I mean, I guess that's what you tried to build, was like a 250 or 300 horse 8.6.
Yeah. But also like maybe since I've been there, I don't want to go there again, you know?
Because I mean, I feel like for me, I always said like what I would really like to have in that car would just be like an NASR, like a high revving. I don't know. It makes like 220 horse, but it's like has a bit of more torque than like the 4A, and it's still like NA. So yeah, just like it wouldn't be fast. It would just be like, and I feel like I kind of don't really like that, like all that S2000 shit with like the VTEC and the K series. It's just not, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the same era. I'd probably just like to have like a crystal body Yokohama looking.
There we go. Perfect.
Fucking AE86 with like NASR VVL. Probably makes 250 at the most. Revs to 9K. That's it. That's what I would do.
Perfect. We got there. I knew it. I knew there was it. I knew there was a thing. Thank you. Kevin.
Yeah.
Go back in time. Your vast experience. What one of your cars do you take again? I feel like I know the answer, but maybe I don't.
I mean, I feel like if I had any of the cars that I've had before this time in my life, I could make them better, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an X7 on 14-inch wheels.
No, I think he takes the oldest of the Corollas that he had.
I'm just kidding. That was an inside joke.
No, that's fine.
That inside. It's a fucking...
No, aware of the joke.
It's the entire podcast episode.
I was here for it. As you remember, I co-hosted that episode. Why didn't you take I'm going to guess, Kevin, and then I hope I'm...
Yeah.
I don't hope that I'm wrong, but it's a fun game.
Shoot, buddy. Yeah.
You take the oldest of the Corollas that you had, the one that you were going to put the Beams engine in, which is the T.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I might... Probably the X7.
Oh, wow.
That's what I was thinking.
But honestly, though, like what I was thinking was like, the TE... The TE was never set up well. So like that car could had a lot of room to come forward and improve.
You're talking with a blue one or the, which one? Wagon?
I had both blue ones.
Yeah, I just realized that when I said
yeah, but yeah,
I assume you mean the sedan because the wagon's a bit of a fucked up, like the rear end's all fucking stupid shit to like do anything to.
I mean, I don't know. It's a solid axle in the other car too. It's just yeah, maybe a little bit easier but with the swirling with though. The spring perch. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Regular coil spring. Then, but yeah. So either of those cars weren't set up super great. Obviously, the X7 was set up much better. But yeah, it does. I don't know. The X7 just felt like, I don't know, more substantial.
What would you go back and do to the X7? What would you change?
It needed like a whole rear subframe that allowed you to adjust the rear arm. Or have a multi-link rear setup, you know? Then a stronger axle and stub axle just kind of starts to snowball, you know?
Right. But that makes sense. I feel like you've grown as a person. You could probably sort it all out and build an Unreal X7 now, given everything that you've learned from...
Yeah, I would still need a Master Gerard to do the fenders, though, you know?
Gotta get Jerry D on them fenders.
That's one thing we could just go back and... I know what we can go back and do. We'll take the Silver X7 and we won't crash it.
I mean, that would be sick.
Because that car was pretty fucking sick.
Yeah, if I could go back and do that, you know.
Yeah, crash. Because the fenders on that thing and it even had the wheels and shit. That thing was pretty sick, man. It just, unfortunately, it was a bit of a short-lived sickness. And the Brown was like, Brown was like legendary.
Yeah.
How?
It achieved legendary status.
How long did you have the silver one for?
I had it for a while because I was driving it for a while and then I blew the motor up in it and then I built it and then Dustin and I did a cage and I built like a whole motor and then, yeah, and then Gerard did the fenders and then, yeah, it had crazy wheels and then I like literally like it had a plumb through hydro and I'm certainly not going to say that was the reason, but I basically just like wiped it out on like turn one. Into like downhill into like a stair set. Yeah. It was sick.
Where did you do this? I feel like we've never spoken about this.
I think we have.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Pacific Speedway.
I have no recollection of us ever talking about the silver car. And I just showed it how great my memory is. So you did that.
Well, anyway, it's not great. Wasn't great.
It's not great. So you'd go back in time and not crash that car.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be great. I love that Jerry doesn't want to save the Aristo at all. He's just like no regard for that fucking car, which is hilarious.
I mean, I felt like that was like not like it was like out of the period of conversation. Like it's too close to like the grace period of not history. It's not quite.
I feel like it's history. Yet. Hasn't it been like 4 years?
Yeah, it has. Something like that.
It feels like history, but you also don't particularly care for that car. You have no...
I mean, I really like that car, and I was thinking just the other day, like, oh, it's nice to just hop in and be able to fucking drive it. Like, it was like an old pair of shoes that I just knew how to, like, fucking tie the shoelaces on. But, yeah, like, you asked me, like, what the only thing I would have changed was aesthetics. I mean, the car was fucking great. It made decent power, had great suspension. The brakes were, like, whatever, but it didn't, like, really need brakes. But, like, I think just, like, if I could just finish what I'd started with, like, the BN kit and all that other shit, that would have been fine. But, like, that's not really to do with the driving. I feel like the question was with the driving.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, how it drives and stuff.
This is going to sound like a slight, and I don't mean it to. Sorry, Gerard. You haven't driven a ton since the Aristo. I mean, no, you could apply what you have from the Aristo, but Kevin, you've driven a lot, I would say, in the last few years. So all the lessons that you've learned, aside from not crashing, how do you think all those lessons that you've learned in driving, how would you, this is keeping in spirit with the question, mind you,
yeah.
How do you think that would change you driving the silver car?
I just think, yeah, like the more time and experience you have, the like more you're able to read the situations and what's happening. I mean, the cars are different and they do handle different and they weigh different and the weight's in different spots and the suspension is different and the power band is different and the tires are different and, you know, like everything is different, but
yes.
I feel like the driver. Main sort of issue with that, the only thing I feel like literally if Kevin had that exact same moment today, it just wouldn't happen.
That's what I was going to ask.
Just knowing Kevin then and knowing Kevin now, it was like he'd go out and be like full tilt first lap. And then like there was no like, let me feel out the track.
Did you watch the last video?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't get it twisted. That Kevin still exists.
Yeah.
I was
I feel though, like I know that the car is tip top, whereas that car was sort of, you know, what I would have done differently is not gone to that event and gone to an event that was like a month later or 2 months later with 100% running perfectly car and then maybe not had that problem, you know?
Do you feel like you're less careless now than you were? Like, I can't think of it, I would say so, yeah. I always
lose a little bit of carelessness. Otherwise, shit would always just be broken.
Right.
Yeah,
I do always love to wonder if younger Kevin and younger Ryan would get along as well as older Kevin and older Ryan.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I used to say.
So I think that makes sense. You learn lessons along the way. I hope we answered your question, Chris Klein. I did not answer the question, but like there's only one car that I own that I'd ever want back, that I've owned that I no longer have that I'd want back again. And that was my S13. And I would take that car back.
Isn't it 180?
Yeah, it's 180
SX
SR20 with an S15 turbo on it and a bunch of shit. And I would just take that car back and I'd change the aesthetic on it. I would have just put all. That's what I would change.
I would take all the cars that I've had almost, you know.
I don't need my Celsior. Like, fuck that, no. You know, whatever. And then I don't need my MX3. And then I've held on to cars for a long time, like long periods of time. Like I think I had the 180 for like,
yeah, that fucking thing forever.
Yeah, it's been more than 10 years, 11 years I've had the Aristo. I think I had the 180 for like 6 or 7. I'm a committed guy, you know, a real loyalist. I hold on to things. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Okay, great. I'm glad we did that. All right. I didn't even read this person's name until right now, and it's a pretty funny name. Your mom's fave sedan wrote in. So, nice. Yeah, I was like, oh, how am I going to read this? It looks like a bunch of gibberish because it's like, you are mom's fave. And I was like, oh, I get it. Okay, here we go. Ryan, I have two questions for the podcast I've always wanted to ask. As a tuner in training, I'm curious, what standalone ECU is Serial 9's go-to? I think I saw Kevin is using an ECU master in the IS, he means Altesa, and that's fine. But I was wondering if all Serial 9 cars with standalones are also using them. There's a second part of this question. So is that what you're using for standalones? I feel like you changed. I'm not going to guess. You answer.
Me or
Jordan? I use a Mega Swirt.
I use Hondata.
And then the Aristo was on a Microtech.
And I got a Haltech. I got a Haltech on my car. Microtech.
It had the keypad and shit with that knob. And the Mega Squirt was version like fucking version 4 strawberry pie fucking creamsicle fucking ashtray. I don't know. Anyways, it's a joke. Yeah, I'm on ECU Masters as well for both cars.
That's what both of you use? Is that the only one that you use? Kevin, you don't use like a Link?
On Infinity. Link is sick.
Infinity.
You gotta, I was waiting for Gerard to answer. And...
Oh, okay.
Because I mean, I assumed he was going to talk about the Aristo and what it was, and then talk about his new car and what it is.
Oh, okay. Aristo was an old Infinity, in AEM Infinity that was sponsored, and it was hella old, but it actually worked quite well once we sorted out the bugs. Definitely had some issues, and it was really old, but actually worked.
Weren't none of the issues like the ECU's issue though?
No, the ECU
wasn't it a bad patch harness?
Yeah, part of that was the harness, but the ECU itself, I think it had like weird connection issues with like the something was weird about the like fucking the connector, or I don't know, man. There was one or two times when the ECU itself just like sort of like didn't eat shit, but it was just kind of like no, and then I had to like take the connector off, reconnect it, start it up, figure it out, and it was fine. There was just a few things like that. The Blit is on ECU Masters, and then we also have the new ECU for the 2J that was in the Aristo is ECU Masters as well.
Yes, and the question asker was correct. The Alteza is on also ECU Masters. But yeah, I did just recently get a link for the Crown. So that's fun.
Oh, the Ridge.
Yeah, Panic Wire. Thank you.
Get him. Wait, so am I using one of the, which, am I using your old, the one that you had issues?
Yeah,
using
my old Infinity. Yeah.
Fantastic. Love to hear.
I mean, honestly, man, like the amount of issues it had was like fucking pretty minimal.
Yes. All right. That's great. I'm really good at fixing things, so that's good. I'm not.
I guess you're gonna have to learn. Fine. Yeah, exactly.
Gonna learn today. You're gonna learn today, boy.
I have a funny story about Link. Link is, it's pretty funny that now, not funny, but I mean, it's cool, I guess, that now it's like a pretty good and well-known, like, you know, ECU brand. Mm-hmm. Back in the dark ages, I had the very first Link ECU for OBD2 cars. So back when I had my Civic, it was a, you know, EK 400, well, it wasn't 400 horse at the time. Turbocharged B18, whatever it was. And we were, I was like, you know, all into new high tech shit. So I bought the Link, I can't remember what it's called, Link, whatever. And it was like a replacement ECU for the OBD2. Cause I guess back then OBD2 was like hard to, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, like it's too hard to tune. But Link was the first to come out with like some new shit for that. So we put the Link in, put it on the dyno, fucking wouldn't run, didn't work, couldn't get any support. I was like, yo, fuck this Link. It was super expensive back then too. I think even back then it was like $1,600. Couldn't get it to run, couldn't get it to boost, doing all sorts of weird shit. Ditched it, put it on Hondata. It made like 370 horse the first run. So I had a bad taste with Link way back in the day, but it's cool that today it's actually like, I guess, pretty come up quite a bit. And it's like one of the top players. So that's kind of a funny little backstory on Link.
People can grow and change and do better. I think that's the lesson there. That's great. Okay. So we answered that. Second, I have been seeing this black JZS 147 on the website for years, but never heard anyone talk about it at all. What's the story? Whose car is it? Also, would like to hear what everyone's opinion is on the chassis, since it doesn't get mentioned very often compared to the 161. Cheers to you all. The podcast is amazing and been listening since episode one. This is my favorite part because I like this. It says, also thought you'd like to hear, I just got back from the drive shaft shop and everyone there was very impressed with your D's Pro adapter. Quality stuff. Sick. You guys are awesome. Thanks. And my immediate response was, wanted to be, I have nothing to do with that, but glad it's working out. But yeah, anyway, it's great.
That's awesome to hear, actually. That really makes me happy. Spent a lot of time designing that thing to be as good as it is. And it's nice that a place of that caliber can appreciate it for what it is.
Good. Stoked on that. Well, that's good. A big old pat on the back to all of us for designing a great product.
I can talk about that Aristo or Kevin can, whatever.
I mean, I don't know. Why don't you talk about it? And then, I mean, I could tell you whose it is, but I couldn't really tell you too much about it. I can tell you that we recently were adding that car to the new website because it's so sick. And then it started us talking about those cars and how sick they are, and it sent me looking for them. And yeah, they're so not cheap, but they're so sick. So yeah, I don't know. Kind of sucks. I would really like to build one.
747s are dope.
Yeah. But
not okay, so the 147 used to be mine. I bought
That's not the one they're talking about, man. They're talking about the black one.
Oh, okay, because the other one looked black. All the photos are black. Okay. Yeah, then it wasn't.
They're talking about Lucas's. Yeah, I assume they're talking about Lucas's
Brady's.
Car.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why I was like, I know who owned it, but I don't know much more about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then. Yeah, I can't talk about it much either because I just know it was like Lucas Freddy's. Looked nice. Had an arrow. It's pretty sick. He doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Where was he located?
Riverside, Chattanooga, somewhere in there on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Where down, is that?
I don't know if that's a place. I just know that that's the name of that show, and I know.
I think it's like South Carolina, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it was an American car.
It's Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. It was an American car. Did it have some of your parts on it? What did it have?
Yes, it had our upper arms and I think the RCAs and toe arm and shit.
Hmm.
Yeah. I guess I can talk about my old one. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean that wasn't really the assignment, but go for it.
Well, I mean he did ask about the car generally.
I'm joking. I was joking.
Why are you such an asshole, right?
Hey, just as a side.
How many
note,
beers have you had, huh? Have another beer, buddy.
Hey, I got another question. Someone wrote in and asked, who is your favorite Care Bear and why? And you can't choose any of the made-up ones.
Okay. Interesting.
That was June's request before she went to bed. She said, hey, when they get really – this is what's great about my kid. She was like, when they get really deep into talking about cars, I want you to change the subject and ask them who's their favorite Care Bear. And then she was very excited to know what they were going to say. And I said, Kevin might have an answer. Gerard will say he doesn't give a shit.
It's funny because I was just going to say that. But then you said your daughter requested it. So then I was like trying to think of a Care Bear that literally the only one that I know is Grumpy. It's his name. I don't even know his name. He's just the one who's always choked.
Grumpy Bear?
And he sounds like a huge asshole.
Is it Grumpy? Grumpy. Yeah, that's
Like it sucks, but that's the only one I know, so I'm just gonna say he's my favorite because I don't know any other ones. So
doesn't one of your kids like Care Bears? Or no, did I make that up?
I mean she watches it occasionally, but not really, no.
Mm. You can also choose the Care Bear cousins. I know that means nothing to you, Gerard.
No idea.
Kevin, are you Googling?
He's looking at him right now.
I'm looking at him, there's some hilarious ones. Okay, like I swear the only one I could have said is Love-A-Lot because like my sister had a Love-A-Lot doll and like lost it on this trip that we took to California when she was like a little kid and it was like the hugest deal. You know what I mean? So I don't even know if I had one, but like yeah, I don't. That's the only one I could tell you. And then yeah, there's one with the rainbow.
Which one?
I don't know the name.
Right.
Yeah. No, but now I'm looking right now. There's one called America Cares Bear.
There's a true North Bear. Oh no.
America Cares Bear.
They're all white. There's
a true North Bear that has a maple leaf on it. And I remember thinking for some reason it gave me weird vibes. I don't know.
What about true North? I like Thanks a Lot Bear. It sounds like real sarcastic.
Yeah.
What is Grumpy's actual name? Is it Grumpy Bear? No.
It's Grumpy Bear. Yeah, and he has a rainy cloud.
Yeah, his name's Grumpy, and they always put him in all the cartoons. Now, in the old cartoon, when I was a kid, I really liked Brightheart, which was the raccoon that wore a vest and a baseball hat and like made inventions.
Well, wasn't there like a lion too?
Yeah, that's Braveheart. Yep. And then
you just said he's a raccoon.
No, Brightheart is a raccoon.
Oh, Brightheart and Braveheart? Oh, like that's a little too similar to for my taste.
Oh, I mean, they only have so much runway with Care Bear names, I think. The yellow one, they don't make him anymore, but he was like the one, and he'd always be like, all right, sports fans. And it's just funny to think now as a kid, there's a character running around calling everyone sports fans. So I think that's a lot of fun. And then there's one that I always think is a funny name, which is the elephant was called Lots of Heart. Get it? And like, because elephants are big, and they just kind of implied that it was. Anyway,
So he's got a big heart because he's big.
Their like emoji or whatever they have on their chest was a weight with a heart on it. And I thought that was like, Lots of Heart. See, there's only so much. You got to put heart in it or something.
Yeah.
That's great. Anyway. That was Serial Nine Heart. Yeah. Style Heart.
I like that one. Yeah. Style Heart Pro.
Anyway, that's great. Okay. Yeah. That was my daughter's request before she went to bed before recording this. And then she's like, yeah, you got to. She was very specific. Like, do it when you're in another conversation and derail it, essentially. And I was like, ah, that's my kid. You know, that's my kid because of that. Okay. Gerard, you're 147.
I can't remember how or why I bought that thing. I needed a car. It was pretty cool. I kind of liked those things. I had a friend who had one, and it was just sort of sitting around. He's like a harsh lowrider guy, and he had bought this thing. Anyways, I took it home, and it was on like two 20-inch wheels and two some other fucking shit because it was just, like I said, laying around. And
dude, I swear, I remember, we had to like put wheels on it and stuff to like
I had to go there and put wheels on it, and it had like 20s on the front, and I was like, man, this thing's like kind of such a piece of shit, whatever. But then I brought it home, and I put it on like super twin turbo wheels or something, and I bought stance coils for it and cleaned it up, and I was like, man, this thing's actually really nice. And it was a late model, it was a 97, and it was an Aristo, not a GS. So I thought, okay, cool.
That's 2J. Where it all started. That's where all of the snobbery started right there.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this thing's pretty cool. Twin turbo, whatever. So I put it on the dyno to do a baseline. Turbos blew up. Or turbo blew up. I don't know. Something fucking blew up. It was a pretty low mile car. I think it had like 90,000 kilometers. But I don't know if it was just abused or just those turbos just suck, period. So then I had to scramble because it was my only car. I had to scramble to put together this like single turbo kit. And I actually used an eBay manifold and a whole set HX35 and like built all the downpipe, the full exhaust, the intercooler was like some used thing that we had laying around. Built the intercooler piping, everything in one entire weekend. And I used like a 50 mil HKS like copy wastegate, so all these Chinese parts and an HX35 whole set brand new from Chris Scrimmon, which is Spectrum Motorsports, and it was awesome. It was actually like the most amazing thing ever. I just kept the boost at like 12 pounds or some shit, and it fully fucking shredded. It would just like destroy like STIs and Lancers, and had no management, no fucking boost cut defenser, no nothing. And it was automatic, and it would just, you just floor the pedal, it would downshift, it would hit boost, and the wastegate would open, and it would just like fuck off. And it was like, there's a video of it on my Facebook where it just does like this first through third gear burnout. It's pretty good. So yeah, it was an amazing car. I really love that car. Super, super comfy. It had cloth interior because all the GSs here are leather, which suck. So really just like, it's like putting on your favorite hoodie, that car. And also just so sleek on the outside, really nice to drive. Did a lot of road trips on it. Really loved that car. Secretly liked that car more than 161s. Now the bad part is they are heavier. They also have a complete front subframe, which is rubber isolated. So that makes it kind of shitty for like drifting and stuff. And yeah, I guess they're kind of rare. But yeah, they're really, really sick. I really love 147s. They're definitely better looking than 161s. Easy to make better looking than 161s.
Yeah, my original plan was to get a 147. I was like, I want that. And then eventually the 161 was like legal and had a 5-speed in it. And I was like, I'll have that. But yeah, that was my. But yeah, originally seeing and hearing about those cars, I was like, oh, those are the one. But then turns out they weren't for me. Mm-hmm. But I do love them. I love them quite a bit. But yeah, you don't see it. I feel like you don't see a ton of really like good ones, though, do you?
Or am I? No, and that's like kind of the weird thing too. Is I feel like they're like a weird redheaded stepchild. It's like, oh, that's an Aristo. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like they're probably gaining a bit of popularity now because of like the 25-year rule and stuff. But like, I still feel like even if you had like the craziest one ever, it still just wouldn't really get the like notoriety that it should get in my world.
I feel like it could, but I mean, to be fair, the 161 just has picked up a ton of popularity in the last few years, mostly because of YouTubers, I think, and that's fine. But yeah, it's all right. Ben Horsborough, our buddy from Australia, wrote in, and I think Gerard, you'll dig this question. Here we go. He said, "Hey, mate." I might. Anyway, hope you're doing well.
That's racist.
Is it? Or is it endearing? Okay, I think I might have a podcast question that could be good for discussion. So I'm 24, and I currently have a JZX 100 Mark II Tour, a JZS 171 Crown Estate, and my partner just picked up a JZX 100 Chaser Tour. Do you think doubling down on Toyota for the foreseeable future leads to me robbing myself of other experiences by having a one-make garage versus multiple brands? Next vehicle would be a Toyota Land Cruiser of some kind for an all-around tow car. I love the Toyota brand and this era of car as a whole. Just curious what you and the boys think. So, is Ben robbing himself of another experience by only driving Toyotas?
Yes. The answer is going to be different between, oh, I guess it's not the answer. It's like, because that's the thing, even between Toyotas, like I guess Kevin's probably a good proponent of that. It's like he only was stuck in the, like, let's just call it 90s and early 2000s. But now you have like a late 2000s Toyota, which is probably vastly different than any other Toyota you've had. But it still sort of has that Toyota vibe.
Yeah, it's still very like Toyota. It's a way Toyota-y. Different car. Yeah, it's still very Toyota-y. But yeah, what I would say you are, because like, you know, all these different manufacturers have different cars that feel different or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then that feels really weird for me to say it because that's not me, you know.
You're just walking. Yeah, you're walking around being like, rob me of an experience. You're just looking to get robbed.
Yeah, exactly. Just hook me up.
Take everything. Take all my experiences and give me another Toyota. I think, man, how do I phrase this? I don't think there's anything wrong with knowing what you like and playing within it. I think that's okay. As a person, I've driven a few different makes of cars. Not anything in the realm of like, oh, it's the best like version of what that car made. It's not like I owned an RX-7 or anything. But no, I don't think you're necessarily missing out on anything by being loyal to something because you're doing what brings you joy. And I think if you find joy in the thing that you're doing, you should continue doing it. I mean, unless it hurts someone. But I don't think you're hurting anyone by owning a bunch of old Toyotas. So, yeah, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, Jerry? You can just say ignorance is bliss.
You could, for sure. I mean, you know, Jerry, you got favorite restaurants. I guess, though, you do stop going to restaurants that are really good. So it doesn't take away from the experience.
I don't know. I mean, if you're asking me, you're definitely asking the guy who's going to say fucking yes. I would just want to drive every fucking car and own every car ever. I mean, probably wouldn't really want to own like a fucking Chevy Cavalier or some shit, but anything that's remotely exciting. Especially like genuinely, yeah, like me not allowing myself to own a BMW ever until like fucking last year or 2 years ago. My thoughts were, what the fuck have you been doing for your entire automotive career? These things are awesome. You know what I mean? So it's like I robbed myself literally of this experience and owning all these like kind of cool cars. For years, But I mean, at the same time, Serial 9 might not be what Serial 9 is if I had been into BMWs 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like,
right.
It might be better, might be worse. Who knows? But it definitely wouldn't be like the hardcore Toyota. It's weird because, like, I think about it now. It's like we literally only make parts for Toyotas. And, like, I don't think I'm, like, the biggest Toyota fanboy. Like, I don't think I ever have been the biggest Toyota fanboy.
No, I don't think you are either.
I just happen to have and be building those cars. So I just improved the cars that I owned. So maybe I need to just own more fucking cars so Serial 9 can make more parts. Anyways, yeah, I do think you're self an experience. But I mean, like, yeah, like Ryan said, if you like what you like, then just stay with it, man.
Stick it out for the long haul. You do what brings you joy. You know, life's too short.
There is nothing wrong with owning three JZX100s or three of the same one JZ cars.
All right. Alex,
so we didn't actually have a subject. We just have questions.
No, we just have questions. People want to know your opinion on things, Jerry. Do you got a subject you want to talk about?
No.
Nope. You can. Whatever you want. Dealer's choice. You're the host with the most.
No.
Alex reached out, but that was just him commenting on his story, saying thanks for the invite. Then I explained you were invited, but you had to move a cabinet. It's a Kevin joke.
Invited to what?
Kevin had to go get wheels from Alex, and then I hit around the corner and jumped out and scared him. And then we were like, you should come for lunch. And he's like, I can't. And then we went, because he had to move a cabinet, and then we went and had Hawaiian barbecue. You know, it's a thing. Okay. This is a fun thing that said, I read it before, but I'm going to read it again. So someone wrote in based on the last episode, and they said that they really loved the debate we had, which was very non-car related. If you missed it, it's on the Next Generation episode. Now, if you saw that episode and thought we were going to talk about Star Trek, you are wrong. But we kind of did, because Gerard told everyone he has a Star Trek tattoo, which is interesting. And it was actually a thing about the future generations coming up. And we had a big, long conversation about that. And this person really enjoyed it. They said it was very refreshing hearing the debates and differences interesting to them, to have additional insights to who people are and what they are about. So there you go. We really opened a window into who we are as people. We tore down the barriers of cars and we got on some bullshit, is what I think. This led to another person who reached out and suggested we all take the test that defines if you are on the spectrum or not. So we all did a test. Well, actually, Jerry, you didn't do the test.
I have not done the test yet. Where is this test? Can I just blast through it while you guys talk?
Yeah, you blast. Yeah, blast through it. So it's the RAADS -R. So I don't know the legitimacy of this. I didn't look it up, but man, did I click through a bunch of buttons and read a bunch of things about it. And it was an interesting time. Our buddy Daryl sent it to us and asked us to take a look and go through it. Now, I did it a few times because I felt like the first time I was gaining the system, and then the second, and then hilariously, my wife was watching me kind of do it, and I feel like she was mad because she wanted me to be on the spectrum. And yeah, so then I went back, and then I was a little bit harsher on myself. So I got a few different scores. Once Jerry completes it, we will go through our scores.
I think the things are funny. True now, and when I was young, true. Dude, only that, now, that, true it's, only.
That's so funny. It's so stupid.
How the fuck am I supposed to remember back when I was 16? I'm literally like 50 years old, man.
You literally told us a story about when you like stole RC cars from somebody's house when you were that age.
Yeah.
Shed, yeah. Not house. And to be fair, they had it coming because they hired you to paint their house.
And you fucked it up.
I only like to talk to people who share my special interests. Nah. This question is kind of weird. I miss my best friends or family when we are apart for a long time. I haven't like really been apart from my friends or family for a long time. So how the fuck am I supposed to answer that?
Do your best.
Isn't that kind of weird, though?
Do you miss your mom when you're away from your mom for a long time?
Yeah. I mean, I see my mom every week, so like...
Do you miss your wife when we go on trips?
I mean, the trips are only like a week or two. Like, dude, a long time
I've
for
never
me
gone
like,
on a...
Yeah, when was the last time you were away from your wife for a week?
Yeah.
So to me, that's a pretty long time. Yeah, in final bout?
Final bout. But I mean, it's not that long. I don't miss her after a week, no.
Okay.
I mean, obviously,
there you go. Yeah. No, there's your answer.
There you go. Look, I want you to, yeah, you don't miss them.
I mean, I'm going to say yes, though, because a long time is, like, maybe a week for me is not that long. So I'm just going to say yes.
Maybe. Obviously,
okay, like, yeah, I just really need you to not read out every question.
I will preface, again, none of us are psychologists or psychiatrists, trained professionals. I have a fine arts degree. I have no business having anything to do with this. I will say... I'm sure, hopefully, there's a lot of documentation in here that I did not read through. If you hear us say that the questions were a bit confusing, because I will give you an example, the answering system is always this. It's true now and when I was young, or true only now, or true only when I was younger than 16, or finally, never true. So those are the options that you can pick from. There's no room for like, yeah, it depends, you know, or what is a long time? So I don't know if people heard or not. Gerard is currently doing the test, and he was struggling to decipher what a long time is to be away from someone. So they don't give you specifics. I mean, he is taking the questions very literally, so I do feel that the further he gets into this test, he might find that that is extra points on the system, and that's okay. We're going to be an inclusive community. Yeah, so that's where we're at. It was an interesting exercise to go through.
It was an interesting exercise.
Kevin did it on his lunch break. You were very excited to do this initially. You had me send it to you like on Friday, I think.
I was. I was like, yo, I want to do this.
And then you did it. And then many days later. And then you forgot.
Yeah.
Jerry, I feel like you're going to get a low score, which means you will not be in the realm.
You don't think I'm on the spectrum?
I don't know if you're self-aware. I don't know if you're self-aware enough to be. No, I'm joking.
Oh, that was hurtful. That was hurtful. Buddy.
I'm just joking. I've got to take back the. That was one of the things my wife said. Because it's like, do you often say things that come to mind, and then you're surprised when they hurt people's feelings? And I said, no, I know when I say hurtful things.
I'm on question 46, so.
Yeah, you're doing great.
I'm doing okay.
It feels like you're pretty close. Yeah.
It felt as if the test, a lot of it is. Like how much empathy or sympathy do you possess for other people? Obviously for other people. And then like, how do you function in groups of people in conversation? And then a little bit of it was like, hey, do textures and loud noises weird you out? And, you know,
yeah.
Like, okay.
Are you more concerned with how food feels in your mouth and how it tastes?
Did that one get you? I just realized to me that fucking soup, though, Kevin. Soup in your mouth.
No, that's not the texture. It's just like, I don't know.
Soup and sauce. Not for Kevin.
Like, what? Like I'm considered a loner. Like, I guess people would have to tell me that you're kind of a loner. Like, people don't normally fucking just say that to you. You know what I mean? Like,
I answered that question by being like, yeah, I think I like prefer like, you know, like the company of being alone. No one was like, hey, Kevin, you're a loner.
You're a lone wolf.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't really think I'm a loner, but like maybe.
I don't think you're a loner either, Gerard.
I don't think you love to talk. Yeah, you love to talk to people, or you love to hear people, like you love for people to hear you talk. So yeah, you don't like being alone probably.
But you're an extrovert, aren't you? You get energy from being around people.
Yeah, I think so.
Otherwise, it's just you yelling by yourself in a room at your computer screen in an accent.
This is how to make friends and socialize is mystery.
I just built a sick fucking car, and then people come talk to me. So, Kevin, to my point, I feel like there's things that could be interpreted, because I looked at your score and thought, because it's like, it doesn't mean anything. It's like you,
it actually said
one or the other. Even if you were following the test results and we were putting weight on this test. And I was like, I feel like a lot of those things are like, a lot of the traits I felt that probably would tilt the scales to the higher end of the points were like admirable things where it's like, well, Kevin will just give you feedback. And, you know, like maybe somebody might be like, well, that seems kind of hurtful, but you also appreciate direct feedback back, you know? So I don't know. Like it's, like I said on the ferry that one time, you're not wrong. There's probably just a better way to do it
sometimes. You're not wrong. You're just an asshole.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the how's this score thing work? What'd you get? 40.
Oh, well, that's low. Not even registered. Means you're like 25 is like not at all. So you're like below, like it'll give you a list. It's like 55 is like
it does.
Attendance.
Oh, what does my score mean? Okay, right there. 25, you're not autistic.
Yeah.
50, some autistic traits, but likely not autistic. Some autistic people score as low as 44. Okay, yeah. What were your scores?
Yeah, Ryan, what was your score, Ryan?
So I did mine 3 times because I felt bad.
I mean, that sounds autistic.
I did it. Okay, because here's what happened. I did it the first time, and my wife was like, no, you're skewing it. And I said, okay. So then I went back, and I was like harsher on myself. So the first time I did it, I got 25. And the second time I did it, I think I got like 40. I got 36. And then today I did it again, and I got 33. So that's what I scored. I got 33.
So it doesn't matter because they're all super low.
Kevin, what did you get?
I got 90.
Yes.
You got 90? Holy shit. Where the fuck is that score again?
That one's the one where it's like, yeah, this is what most autistic people get. But like, it doesn't mean you're autistic. You're probably not autistic. I think at 125, they're like, this is like the mean average.
So there you go. We took the test with Daryl. So, yeah, I thought that was a really interesting thing to do. We learned a lot about ourselves. Kevin, like I said, I just feel like you've actively made choices. Gerard, did you learn anything about yourself?
Are you surprised? I have some autistic traits, but likely not autistic, so... I guess I learned that I'm not autistic.
Well, good. I think it's important to come away from every episode with something.
What was that?
I'd like to take like a legitimate
other one.
The one that we did.
No, it's not the autism one. It had like it gave you like you're a QX45B. You know,
personality test.
That was the Myers-Briggs.
I felt that one was more insightful.
But apparently my personality type is the same as fucking Napoleon or some shit. Who like, I'd be a good soldier. I can't remember what the fucking type it was. ASTP, oh, I'll just some go fucking look. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't think A is a letter in the Myers-Briggs. I'm an ENTP. And Gerard, you were not an ENTP when we did it.
Yeah, it's just one that I remember. So.
I remember Ryan was the debater.
Yes, Kevin, you're I think you're an ISTP.
Yeah.
Which was the virtuoso. Like bold and practical experimenter, masters of all kinds of tools. I think
that yes, I recognize the picture because it's a guy and he's like working on a car.
Yeah, he's got a hammer in his back pocket.
Yeah,
and he's wearing wild sunglasses like you would wear.
It's got a do-rag on.
What is it called?
Myers perfectly, Briggs. Kevin. I'm an ENTP, smart and curious thinker who cannot resist an intellectual challenge. Okay. So we took that test. We don't know the validity of.
What did you say? ISTP.
Or a campaigner.
Oh, okay, so here's how it works. E, extrovert, N, F, P, maybe is what it might be.
Yeah, a campaigner. That would be a good soldier. Sociable free spirit who can always find a reason to smile. That sounds like you old guy, Smiley. All right. So I want to say thanks to Gerald for sending us that test. It was very interesting. For those that are interested, it was embraceautism.com. And then it was like /RAADS-R at the end. So there you go. Anyway, we did that test. It was mildly not confusing, but yeah, there was a lot of, I felt like there was a lot of nuance because it dealt very much in absolutes.
What I kind of think was like, if you could make it through that test without getting so mad, you don't have autism, you know? Like that's how the test really worked.
Yeah, it's about the friends we made along the way. Do we got anything else we want to talk about?
Let's talk about Gerard's BMW.
Oh, shit. See, that's why I would think that you were mildly on the spectrum. You got one thing you want to talk about. And
so yeah, I'm only interested in talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, but realistically, though, it is new and it is different than the other ones because it is like one that we're making parts for. And I do drive it every day and I am keeping it for longer than I'm not trying to sell it. You know what I mean? It is actually my car.
So let's do this properly. Gerard, you now have another BMW that you're not trying to sell. You daily drive it. What is it?
Yes. It's an E90 330i, 6-speed manual.
Okay. And for those that don't know, what type of engine does it have in it?
It has an N52. So it's an inline 6.3 liter, normally aspirated. It's the highest model of normally aspirated that they came with in North America.
Why do you love this car so much?
It's fucking sick. It's just a nice car to drive. The seats are awesome. It has KW V3s, like 19-inch wheels, some aesthetic mods. That's pretty much it. And it's just a great car. Because I had the 1 Series cars before, which are awesome, but the 3 Series is just like a little bit better in every way except aesthetics. My 130i was definitely faster, but it was like because it was lighter and shit. So
you would recommend this car unmodded to people to buy and modify?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a great car. There is a guy on the island who has the same 330i with like some light mods and he drifts it and he says it's great. Like it definitely has enough power. So I think it's 200 in the US version. I think it's 255 horsepower. So, but it's a 3,200 pound car, so it's not exactly like fast, but it's definitely like fun enough. You know, it's not slow. I mean, depends on what you consider slow, but
yeah, it's a subjective thing.
So the plan for it is basically currently get some hubs redrilled to 501/14, put my Sparkos on it, and then probably make all the arms and the NCAs to add some camber to fit my Sparkos because they're 18 by 10.5 plus 18, which is a pretty aggressive wheel for that car. They can definitely fit some like kind of aggressive wheels, but like that's a fucking huge wheel. So
So you're gonna do that, and then this is the BMW that you feel that you will make parts for.
Yeah, these are cars that we were planning to make parts for, the E9. Starting from there. Yeah,
I had a thought yesterday, and again, I don't mean this as a dig, but I imagine people that listen to the podcast frequently, and I get it, production and R&D and everything takes a long time, but people that listen to the podcast frequently must be like, man, for the last year, Gerard's been talking about building parts. Now, obviously, it's a business and other things get in the way, but I was like, oh yeah, Gerard has been talking about building parts for BMWs for some time. You feel this is actually going to happen now?
Yeah, 100% it is. So, I mean, my plan is basically we have that Aristo that's for sale currently or the 2JZ. So once we sell that, I'll funnel a little bit of the money into making some prototype arms and stuff and just to get the wheels on and all that. So I'm probably engine-wise, it's going to stay pretty much stock. It's just going to have like some cool suspension and look cool, at least for the first bit. But the only other thing I would be planning on is either swapping to an N54 twin turbo or not, like an N54 car, or swapping the engine to an N54. So yeah, I don't know. I had an idea of doing a Jay-Z before, but honestly, like they've come a long way with the new N54 stuff that like basically gets rid of all the direct injection and all the shit that's basically kind of garbage on it, because the engine itself is quite strong and they sound really sick. So I'd like to build a single turbo N54, but I don't know. Okay. That's not for a while. It's mainly just the
suspension. No, suspension is number one, because you don't build turbos, you build suspension. Get those parts on the shelf.
And I got like one other car to finish basically. So, and one and a half or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you're in it now, hey? That's very exciting news for you. Good. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the BMW?
It's just really nice to drive.
Knob that lights up, buddy.
Oh, yep. We
will have the BMW adapter for our SKs quite soon. So, because I can't stand the shift knob of the car.
Oh, really? And then lights up?
It's an M. It's like an aftermarket, like M shift knob. It looks cool, but it's just like not very nice.
Right.
It doesn't fit well, and it's kind of like loose.
Going to change the steering wheel on that thing?
Nope. I will. If I do change it, it's going to be for like some super duper fancy, like D-shaped carbon fiber super duper wheel. That's kind of one thing cool about BMWs is you can just upgrade to like an even more gangster factory steering wheel or some other modified factory steering wheel. So you keep all the functionality and the airbags, but it's, you know, smaller and or electronicer or like suede or like D-shaped or carbon, whatever the
fuck. Suede.
Yeah.
Electronica. Suede. That's where you got me. Okay, well, that's a fun little update. So we're back at it. You've moved the cars that you were meant to buy and drive for a bit. You've sold both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Bought another BMW. You're all about it. It's in your blood.
Yeah. Three BMWs in a year.
Okay, yeah. Good. Kevin still has the 3GS that you've acquired wheels for.
Like yeah, wheels for
several
it.
Sets.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought some wheels off Carter that we were talking about on the podcast.
Oh, those 20s?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Are they, what's the size on them? Yeah.
He doesn't exactly know, but they're 9.5 and 11. I mean, they look pretty perfect on that UCF 30 that he sent me. So, like, I figured it should be similar fitment to that.
The plan will be wheels and lower and all the suspension on the 3GS. Is that correct?
That is the plan, yes.
So we're going all suspension mods all the time right now.
That's the move. That's the move.
So maybe, yeah, we'll both have two new sort of street cruisers. I'll have the E90 and you'll have the 3GS.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice. I feel left out, but that's okay.
We need to move forward. We need to make parts for new vehicles. And that's part. And that is part of it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's great. I'm very excited for both of you on your new journey of discovery.
Yeah.
Okay. And then other than that, are we missing anything? There's a new website up. Yes. No, maybe so.
Oh, the new website. Ooh,
by the time this comes out. Yeah. This.
Yes.
Convenient.
Definitely check it out. And I need you guys to go there and like look at it and browse around, because there might be special promotions and deals.
There might be new products that we've never released before.
And let us know what you think. It's a different UX. It's a lot more like streamlined and get to the point. You want to look at some parts. There's lots of information. We have FAQs at the bottom of a lot of pages to kind of like answer all your questions, like do my arms come in a pair, or like or people say CD009 gearing sucks, and we tell you guys about all those things. So yeah.
Well, that sounds really educational and delightful.
That's what we're trying to do.
Trying to be
educational.
Yeah. That's very nice. So I appreciate that. I did see there were some AK-49s at the shop when I was there. That
looked
like they
could go on. Yeah.
We've talked about those a bit. I've been writing it in my dream journal. Looks like everything's come to fruition.
Yeah.
I put it out into the universe, and the universe gave AK-49s for the 161, which I'm very excited about. So that's great news. So that'll be a thing for all y'alls out there that need that steering angle. Get your car to feel, get your 16 to feel a little bit more sporty. Get that angle a little bit more reactive, make it a better driving experience is what I've been told.
Ooh, buddy. Yeah. So that turn great. In, you're going to appreciate that crisp turn in.
Right into a set of stairs or whatever you did in the summer.
Oh, you got me. You got me.
Yeah, I got him.
You got me.
That's called a callback. Okay. Well, that's great. So there's going to be a new website. There's some new parts. Some other new parts. Oh, I wasn't going to say caps. It because I thought it was a surprise. The oil caps are beautiful.
I mean, they should already be on the, you know, that's the thing. They should already be on the website by the time you're hearing this.
Serial 9's got new oil caps. There's three types, bunch of different colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And they're beautiful. Can't stress that enough. Love them. Yeah. So there's lots happening. I feel like we're moving into the new car season, you know. The season's about to kick off. There's going to be things happening, doing stuff, having cars out and about, hopefully. There'll probably be some events that will be visited. Not sure on which ones. But lots happening.
Not as many events as last year, I don't think.
That was a lot of events last year.
Yeah.
About the same for Gerard this year. No, or more. More for Gerard this year.
Should be more. Should be a few more events this year than last year.
Right. Okay. Well, with that, I think we've covered what we came to cover. I had fun. Thanks, you two, for being you. And thanks to everyone who listens to the podcast.
Nice.
We wouldn't do it without you. I don't know.
A friend.
Thank you, everybody, for caring about us.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to Serial Podcast 9.